Welcome to the Drunk to Who podcast. I'm John.
I'm Steve.
Welcome to episode 89.
89?
I know, right? Today we're going to discuss series 6.
I hope, was the energy abnormal for me? Like the 89, did that sound weird to you? It sounded weird to me.
It didn't seem weird at all, Steve.
All right, well, I'm glad I could make it weird for you, so.
No, that's okay.
All right.
So that just means if you're going to go to that level, I have to go higher.
Oh, then
I always have to be on top, Steve. So, this is Eris. We're going to watch Series 6, Episode 9. Oh, now yeah. I've turned into a Cookie Monster.
I know, seriously. All right, so, energy levels normal.
Energy levels normal.
I'm just going to drink a little beer and even out.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, so we're going to look at Episode 9 of Series 6, and it's called The Night Terrors.
Okay.
So, Steve, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
What's The Night Terrors about?
So the Night Terrors is going to be about, I'm going to assume Rory, he drinks the contents of a lava lamp, kind of loses his shit because he's on the TARDIS. So it doesn't just poison him. It poisons his mind. And so then he goes and he starts, I don't know. He grabs like Captain Jack's wrist thing and he goes off on his own and he starts like a roving time traveling criminal gang called the Night Terrors. And the Doctor I almost said Rose, the Doctor and Amelia Pond, no, Amy Pond, Amelia's the child, Amy Pond have to go and find him and then give him a cure for his lava lamp juice addiction.
And then does he go stay in jail with River because he killed the greatest man ever known or something?
Oh, that was so ridiculous.
Oh, what makes you think that, Steve?
She's worse than Hitler and Stalin and every history's greatest monsters. She's worse because she killed one dude.
Well, but
I have a feeling, sorry, never mind.
No, it's history's greatest man, Steve. What's not to understand?
I know.
The doctor is the most important person in the universe, according to this series.
I know. I know. But I just have a feeling that this is going to get so convoluted by the end of this season, and it's just going to be a little bit much. Like,
do you feel it's convoluted already?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But with, like, the silence and this assassin or training River to be an assassin or whatever it was, it's just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Night Terrors. I'm assuming this is going to be a highlight of the season.
It will, Steve.
Because you last time compared it to Fear Her, which was everybody's favorite.
Oh, did I? I shouldn't have liked giving you that expectation. Or it will set your expectations very low, and it will be very entertaining for you.
So I'm just going to say it, Rory as a space pirate, head leader of some space pirates. And that's then
they only had space pirates, Steve.
Oh, well, then he's just space criminal gang. I don't know, dude.
So like Rory's 11?
Sure.
And he's going to like get like a space Clooney to go along with.
There you go.
A space Damon.
There you go, yeah.
Or space demon.
It sounded like you said Damon in like a weird accent.
Well, you know.
A space Damon.
A space Damon. Actually, yeah, there was an episode in the 70s called The Damons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a Pertwee. Of course. Oh, why? You didn't get... Oh, jeez. How many of those do we have left?
John is grumbling because I'm grabbing the Malort. After this, there's two more. So people who, you know, longtime listeners know that I bought a six-pack of 50-milliliter bottles of Jepson's Malort. And if you don't know Malort, then you...
You are lucky.
You don't know pain.
You're a good human being.
You have led a blessed life. At least when it comes to beverages. Okay. Hey, grumbles, let's go.
No, I get to say something first.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hey, Steve.
Yes.
This is the part of the show where we do a shot.
Yeah.
Usually not something this horrible, unless it was Season of Malort.
Yeah, that's true.
That was like, you know, Halloween 4, Season of Malort.
Halloween 3.
Now, not only are you supplying the awful, awful liquor today.
Yes.
You are supplying the, well, let's hope not quite as awful toast. Steve, what's our toast? Our Drunk to Who toast of the episode.
Fuck you, Mars.
Fuck you, Mars.
Oh, it's so disgusting. Like, I really did make a mistake. I'm history's greatest monster.
Yeah, fuck you. You know, it's like Deadpool should have came back and killed you in your crib.
Oh.
Bah!
Space Damon! Fuck you, Mars, from The Martian.
Speaking of Damon.
Space Damon actually applies.
Yeah, Space Damon.
Because I couldn't think. Because I couldn't think of anything else, because the only movies we watched recently were like, I showed my niece and nephews the Wallace and Gromit short movies, which they had never seen, which they, I think they enjoyed.
All three?
Yes.
Because aren't two of them kind of older teenagers now?
Yes. Okay. Actually, the oldest sat through them the entire time. And she, I think she enjoyed, she said that she enjoyed them.
That's nice.
Then we, you and I watched Happy Death Day.
Oh, I like that.
There weren't really any quotes from that to use, so.
That was fun. I liked that movie.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Anyway, we're about to watch an episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah, and the best episode of the season, according to John.
No. Yeah.
The best episodes John has ever seen.
The best episode we're going to watch today.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
And we're going to do that. So, please join us.
Oh, they're here.
As you're watching.
We do this every time. They're
because
here.
Because they are here. They're here with us. They're just here with us in spirit.
Let's go.
So thank you for joining us on this seance of Doctor Who-ness.
Seance?
That's why we join hands,
It's
Steve.
Just a podcast.
That's why we join hands and we use the...
You're so clammy.
The Whoja board.
Whoja?
Yeah. You know, Whoja. It's like the little TARDIS that we guide through it. It's like, then we say like questions like, oh, what is Adric doing right now?
I don't know what that means.
I know, because he's dead, Steve.
What? Okay.
Adric is dead, Steve. Get over it.
It always goes to Tom Baker.
Is
Adric from Tom Baker?
He's from Tom Baker and from Peter Davidson. See, he actually died on Peter Davidson's watch.
He got blowed up. I know you well enough to know. This is meaningless. Let's just go. Let's go watch Who.
All right, we're going to watch Doctor Who. So press number one on your...
What?
I don't know.
You've got nothing.
You gave me this look that was just kind of like withering, like kind of like, again, we're doing this.
You've got nothing!
And we're watching it. Bye!
Bye. I hope my yelling isn't going to knock me out of my seat later when I'm editing this.
Not like when I go... I
know.
That you deserve.
Yeah.
Well, we just finished watching an episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah, we did.
We just finished watching Night Terror.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Steve?
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It wasn't as bad as I remembered it was.
Yeah, you brought up Fear Her, which is pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Yeah. And Night Terrors wasn't nearly as bad. There were parts of it where I was just like, what, seriously? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
The kid was like, every time we cut back to him, it was like you're seeing Ron Weasley.
He wasn't that bad. But
he wasn't Ron Weasley bad?
Well, he wasn't Ron Weasley in the first two movies bad. Yeah, I know. When he sees the giant spider or whatever. But you and I have been watching The Haunting of Hill House, season one on Netflix.
That's not fair.
And that little boy is like the most adorable thing I've ever seen, and he is so good. And you actually just seeing him be scared, like, heightens your tension and makes you so emotionally invested in it.
Yes.
And this kid, you're just like, all right, he's a not done. No pun intended. He's a Weasley little kid. He's a squirmy little kid. You know,
he's
whatever.
A Weasley.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, so that was Doctor Who. Thanks for listening. You can
rate, subscribe.
You
rate,
review, subscribe. You can email us at drunkterwho@gmail.com or reach out on Twitter at drunkterwho or at SRDAHLIN. That's me. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Oh, or the next fortnight.
Yes, that's true.
You know, assuming we keep to our regular
scheduled.
What?
Sorry.
I wasn't actually leading up to that.
I know. Fine. But it feels like you implied. Yeah, episode 88 was released late, even though I backdated it. I shouldn't have backdated it because on your feed it didn't really show up as new. So,
no.
I'm sorry.
Like a week ago, and I got like a whole bunch of podcasts. I'm like, yeah. Dude, we didn't release one this week. I'm like, eh, whatevs.
Yeah, I was incredibly busy at work, and I was also sick last week, so I had trouble getting the episode out on time.
Okay.
Yeah, so all right, Steve. You and your judgment can just go drink a beer.
Well, then, fine. A Lagunitas.
Yeah.
Hello, sexy lady on the cover who's enticing me to be heterosexual. Not gonna happen. Still gonna put my lips on you.
Oh, how many beers would it take?
More than this.
Yeah.
More than this.
As you've said before, unless it's Salma Hayek.
She's my age.
I know.
She just had a birthday. She's... wow.
Yeah, I know.
She's wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Shama Hayekers wow, baby. Swing. I'm just going to put a schwa on everything.
Okay. So, wait, what were we talking about? Fear her?
No, God. No, oh. We've done that one. Oh. We've paid our penance for that one, yeah. Steve. No, night terrors.
Oh, yeah. So the kid
was... Those dolls were creepy.
The doll... Well, not... I mean, I found them more ridiculous. They were a little creepy at first.
Those are actually based on real dolls.
Yeah, from like what, 1870?
I mean, Swedes, I think. Like, yeah, probably. Didn't you like have an innate fear of them, an innate night terror of them, Steve? With you being like, I don't know, Swedish? Viking American?
Yes, yes. No, I am
Steve the Red.
I am only because I'm in. I embarrass easy. I didn't find them that. I found them a tiny bit creepy, but as soon as. I don't know.
Well, they have like children's laughter coming out of them.
Yeah, but as soon as you saw them move and saw someone turn into one, it seemed a little almost ridiculous.
Okay.
So anyway, this episode.
What happened?
We start out with little George, little Georgie, who's like, what, 8?
Gonna be.
Yeah, freaking out in his bed in an apartment building that reminded me of where Jackie lived, Rose's mom.
Yeah, where Rose also lived.
Which was much more...
They call it a state. Basically, it's like public housing.
Yeah, which was much more red.
You're poor people.
I associate Rose's house as being a little more red. Rose and this red? One was like yellow or bright, like fluorescent colored.
Well, the mom there just wanted like a little different jab of color, Steve.
Yeah. We see this kid who can't go to bed until his mom, like, blinks the lights 5 times because the monsters are going to come and get him or some bullshit.
She's got a night shift that she works at.
Yeah.
And the dad's unemployed.
Yeah. And the dad was very familiar. It bugged me. Okay. And as you told me, it turned out he's played by Jonah Hill.
Skinny Jonah Hill. You know, that 2-month period each like 3 or 4 years where Jonah Hill's skinny.
Yeah. No, I should have gone with a more ridiculous example. Like, it's Rebel Wilson.
Well, she's never been skinny, Steve.
Okay.
She's my hero. My heroine.
Yeah.
Rebel Wilson is my heroine.
Turns out it's Salma Hayek.
No.
Okay. No. Anyway. So,
child's going to go to bed. Mom's like, no, there's no monsters.
Yeah.
Mommy, there's monsters. And then...
The dad and the mom are... What was the name of the dad? I don't remember.
He was Alex. She was Julie.
Alex. No, Claire.
Oh, you're right. You're sorry. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
So they're having a conversation about what to do about the kid, how he's scared of everything, how they should, like, send for a doctor or somebody. And then she goes to work, and the doctor gets a distress call.
Yeah, the kid's like... Please help with the monsters. Please help with the monsters.
Save me from the monsters.
Save me from the monsters. Yeah. And then the doctor's like, whoa, we're like light years away.
And it showed up on the psychic paper.
Yep.
Which is weird. We've not seen this power of the psychic paper before.
And the doctor's like, oh, going to make a house call.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. She even says, like, we should send for a doctor. I'm like, oh, yeah. So this is where the doctor's going.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. So... Then the doctor says he's making a house call. And I like how Rory and Amy were just standing off to the side, like, drinking out of mugs. in the TARDIS. And that just, the picture of them, each standing with a cuppa of whatever. If it was a cuppa of blood and Weetabix, it would have been Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, season 4. You know,
they're British. I know. It's tea.
But Weetabix is British. Anyway, that's your Buffy reference. I'm going to take a drink.
Please do. Spike was also in.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, then I like the fact that they were standing over there with their little cups of their mugs of whatever, probably tea. Like it just that one image said to me that it was just so blasé, so casual for them to be on the TARDIS going through time and space that I just liked it. That one, the fact that they were just holding mugs, each of them, mm-hmm. was like, we're at home here.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the point, but that's what it hit me with.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an audio podcast. You don't just nod.
Yeah, no, right. There's the sound of me nodding.
Okay.
Which is different from me masturbating.
Yeah, one of those you're allowed to do in my house, and the other you're not.
I'm nodding.
Yeah. So, and I think then we went to credits.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, and then they go.
And the whole, like, Amy is like, I've known him as the Raggedy Man.
Yeah, we do the
dun,
whole.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
I like the theme.
Oh, the Doctor's theme?
Yeah, the music, yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. You know, it feels very, I'm about to charge into, like, yes. and do something.
It's invigorating, yes. almost. Yeah,
it is.
It's rousing. I don't need the Raggedy Man.
Yeah.
The opening narration.
I don't know why we keep getting that.
Yeah.
It's, I don't think it'll be next series.
Hopefully not. Hopefully I mean, it's not. Been this entire series. Like,
yeah.
I can see it being like.
The first one, like, hey.
The first couple, even.
Hey, new people.
Yeah.
Here's a little introduction.
And even the first, like, one or two after the mid-season break. But.
Hey, guys, remember seeing this? It's been
every single episode.
Hey, you thought this was a thing. It unfortunately is.
So
I'm Amy Pond.
Yes, you are.
And this is my life.
Yeah.
I am Amy Pond. That's my name, Amy Pond.
Okay.
All right. No, good thing they don't listen because, like, the look you gave me was kind of like, again.
No, it was more like, are we doing this? Yes. Like, I don't want another 80-minute episode.
That was 79 minutes.
Oh, Steve. Sorry. Yeah, so then we see, basically the Doctor's like, all right, cool, we've landed in Britain. And Rory grumbles. He's like, in all of time and space, we're in contemporary London? In all of history and outer space? And yeah, they're in contemporary London.
Yeah.
And the Doctor's like, yeah, fuck you, what are you going to do?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Suck it up, Rory.
Yeah.
Whiny little bitch.
Suck it up, Cupcake.
Boom, boom, boom.
So yeah, they...
Come on, Ginge.
Then the Doctor got a message... across time and space.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't tell him where to go. Just the general area.
Well, I mean, he was in, like, the close vicinity of the floors. He luckily saw all the people, basically, we saw before.
Yeah.
The guy with the bulldog. And
the woman with the trash.
The woman with the trash. And then the lady with the shining twins.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we saw them outside.
We didn't see them, but they were so creepy.
Rory, Amy, and the Doctor split up, and they start knocking. They go door to door. They start knocking on doors, just asking, hey, anything weird going on?
Oh, we're from the council.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're the neighborhood council. And the one guy with the bulldog is like, yeah, I'm the landlord. Shouldn't you know that if you're the neighborhood council? And he's like, oh, Abraha, sure.
Look, something shiny. And he runs away.
It's Rory. And so they knock on those doors, and the old lady keeps talking about the bins. And there's a lot of trash generated, and the bins apparently aren't being emptied.
You know what? She probably pisses her pants a lot.
Okay.
What's the British version? It depends.
I assumed she had a lot of cats, and so therefore had a lot of cat litter to take down.
I assume she drank a lot of tea
and
had a lot of piss litter to take down.
Okay.
Whatever. That's me.
Yeah.
I didn't see any cats.
I didn't see any cats, but that didn't mean they weren't there.
She said she had a husband.
Yeah, that was a lie.
Yeah, I didn't see a husband either.
She might have been a widow.
Or
she just insisted that she was a missus.
maybe she was like, you know, one of those like older lesbians who was just kind of like, oh, me husband is there. And her husband is actually named, you know, Trisha.
Janice.
Yeah. Is like, but Janice has been like dead for years and she's stuffed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So then Rory and Amy are going by and it's like, Rory's like, oh, maybe it's some like stupid kid who needs to be put away. And then like the kid actually looks out at the window and sees them and was scared by
them. Because this is when Amy goes and knocks on the door and a little girl opens and she's like, hello, little girl, anything weird going on? And then the door opens wider and there's the exact a carbon copy of that little girl right there.
And then their mom opens the door.
And she kinda, like, is
weirder too.
Abrasive.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, Amy and Rory walk past and the kid, and it reminded me of like a cheap hotel with those doors right by the bed or the window right by the bed because, you know, you're in a hotel, it's one room. So, yeah, that's what George's bedroom reminded me of, a cheap, shitty hotel. So the doctor looks down and sees them from across, like, a courtyard and sees little George poking, like, not poking his head, but looking out the window, poking his head through the drapes, sees him and is like, ha-ha, that's the kid.
And, like, doesn't, like, clue in Amy or Rory.
No.
He's like, go do your thing.
In fact, he tells them to go and what, does he tell them to go back to the TARDIS?
I forget.
I don't know.
But, like, whatever it is, it's, like, one of the things that George is scared of many things. This child is scared of many things. One of the things he's scared of is the lift.
Yes. Because he can hear it. The elevator
going up and down.
He can hear it in his bedroom. Next to it. Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, you know, so then, it, you know, at this point, Rory and Amy go into the lift.
Yeah.
And the doctor's got himself inside. And he's like, hello, I'm the doctor. I'm from the council to check on your
social
child.
Social services.
And he pulls out the psychic paper, of course. And Rory and Amy are going down the elevator, and they disappear.
Well, and the elevator gets really fast.
Uh-huh.
Goes really fast.
Really.
And then when it finally gets to the floor and opens, they're not there. And
right.
They were on, like, the third or fourth floor.
No, they're, like, eighth or ninth or something.
I don't know. It didn't look like that big a building.
No, it was a pretty big building.
Yeah. No, I meant height-wise. It didn't look like
more than, because like of the metric?
Six stories.
Because, like, the metric, because it's, like, in centimeters or something?
Oh, yes.
Because it's, like, it's really only, like, 9 centimeters
I thought it was in hectares. Hectares.
That's way huge, Steve.
Yeah, I know. And I'm so, yeah. The
dectators.
Yes. The elevator opens, the lift opens, and they're not there. And then later on, they wake up in, like, this scary old Victorian house.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, the doctor, he comes in and Alex is like, oh, well, that was fast. I didn't even know my wife was going to call you. And he's like, aha, yes, me. I'm here.
I'm here. Tell me about your son.
And he goes in and tell me about George, which George's room is written on the outside of the door. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. So he obviously saw that.
George's room.
So Alex is very trusting of the doctor and his psychic paper, and is like, yes, sure, go talk to my 7-year-old child, while even though it's late at night and you're the only one in there.
Uh-huh.
Like, would
it's people, a problem?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, Steve, maybe if you lived in a tenement in London, you'd get it.
I would be like, oh, social services here at like 9 at night.
Just don't take my son!
Yeah.
That's anyway, what I assume.
So he goes and he talks to George, and then he's like, basically like, oh, I know the monsters are real, and I have this, and it's a sonic screwdriver, and George is like, is that a torch? He's like, no, sonic screwdriver, it does things, and he like waves it, activates it, and basically activates all the toys, the toys, the battery. Yeah.
Because like the door had like been like knocked, and the landlord showed up.
Yes. With his like his bulldog.
What was the aunt from Harry Potter?
Oh, I don't remember.
I was trying to remember that bulldog's name. Remember she had the bulldog and like she got plowed up and then
she's basically, if there's a problem with the bitch, there'll be a problem with the litter or something.
Yeah, basically.
Literally talking about Harry's mom.
Yeah, basically there's a problem with the spawn, there's a problem with the bitch.
And it's just like, okay, Harry's aunt, his mom's sister, is sitting right there. Like, come on. The mom's sister, like, Harry's aunt. What was her name?
Aunt Petunia?
Yes. Right. No, not Aunt Petunia, but Harry's aunt.
Oh, it wasn't Harry's aunt.
Dursley's.
Yeah, that was.
Dursley. That was Harry's aunt.
Aunt Petunia.
Oh, okay.
Are you talking about the aunt who got blowed up?
No.
You know, it was Aunt Petunia.
Oh, I thought Aunt Petunia was the aunt who got blowed up.
No.
Oh, whatever. It's been a long time. Anyway, so, like, you'd think she would stick up and say, hey, woman, that is my sister you're talking about?
No. She hated her.
And she hated a little bit of her. She hated a little of herself, and that's...
Thank you. Thank you, yeah. Dr. Freud.
Yeah, no, I'm just...
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm from social services. I'm here to analyze your problems.
No, I mean, like, you know, I mean, from the start of that, those book series, they were so amped up to be, like, monsters anyway.
No, I know. They were...
Yeah, they were just...
Caricatures.
They were caricatures of monsters.
But how weird was it when Dudley got a PlayStation for his birthday? Because it was, like, this real-world technology that was mentioned in these books, and it was not, like... a car. It was a brand name, and it just really kind of takes me out.
Yeah, also, too, he got a PlayStation in the wrong year.
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because, like, PlayStation was released in the late 90s. These books took place in the early 90s.
Well, that was, like, because
Harry
three
was born
or four.
Like, 81, so it would have been, like, say, 98, 99 tops.
So the original PlayStation was available then?
No, but, like, But again, like if the kid, Dudley got his PlayStation like for his 12th birthday, that would have been like 93 or something.
I don't know. I thought that was like book four.
It was too early. Too early, Steve.
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Fucking
it
magic.
It just doesn't matter.
There's magic in those, but who cares?
Not like video games, which are magical.
It's like you're one of those IMDb people who said, well, this car did not have that type of rear view mirror until the 1978 model,
actually,
and this takes place in 1977.
Seriously, if you did not understand, like, the first time,
what?
I don't know. I was you had like a pause for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember where the fuck we were.
Doctor Who.
Oh yeah, where?
So Rory and Amy are like exploring this creepy little house.
Oh yeah.
And they get into the kitchen where like the pans are made of wood.
Amy notices the pans made of wood and this is painted to look copper.
Right. There's like the front door that doesn't have a doorknob.
As soon as they woke up there and she says pan is made of wood and looks like copper, I'm like, oh, they're in a dollhouse.
Yeah.
Because
is that before you saw one of the creepy doll people?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like, right, because I'm like, okay, they disappeared. They went to a fucking dollhouse because it's a little kid. There's toys involved, whatever. And the doctor is using a sonic screwdriver and he scans the cupboard where the little boy is supposed to put all the things that scare him. He's supposed to put them in this cupboard. And so the doctor scans the cupboard and he says, oh, does not register or whatever. And he freaks out a bit.
Oh, the doctor's like, oh, there are monsters. And this is after the landlord leaves. The dad comes back in. The dad's like, all right, what's wrong with me, son? And, like, let me open the cupboard. And he's like, no, don't open the cupboard. There's monsters in there. The monsters are real.
And he told the boy, George, monsters are real, like, right away. And, like, you know, I believe you. Whatever.
And the dad's like, the fuck?
Yeah.
Wait, so, come on. You're here to fix my kid? What is wrong with you?
So then the doctor and the dad kind of talk and argue, and
in the meantime, like, the old lady goes down to the bins.
Which is surrounded by garbage bags.
Surrounded by garbage bags. No one can put their bags actually in the bin. But then she gets yanked in somehow.
Yeah.
The asshole landlord with the dog gets sucked into his carpet.
Yeah, because he's trying to find, like, a boxing match on TV.
Right, well, we see them get pulled into the dollhouse, and the dolls grab them and turn them into dolls.
Both the old lady and... Well,
we didn't see the old lady
turn. We didn't see
the
old lady, but...
We knew what happened, though. But we see the dude turn in.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and
oh,
so does
shit.
Rory and Amy, and so they're like, oh, fuck, this is what happens. Yeah. Okay.
Seriously, we need to get away.
Yeah. In the meantime, Amy has got, like, this giant torch that the flame looks like a light bulb.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's...
It looked like dollhouse stuff.
It looked like dollhouse stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, out in the real world, you know, the doctor,
well,
like, figures...
Real enough.
Doctor's talking to Alex, the dad, and the dad's like, here's an album of, like, you know, when my child is like, here's us, and this, that, and everything. Doctor's like, really? You think there's something weird there? No, wait, No, get out! You leave now! Because, like, anytime, like, the reality was being questioned by the doctor, Alex's perception filter would kick in and be kind of like, no, we must not question this.
Yeah,
we need to leave.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because as we find out, the kid is an alien
that
assimilates Like, yeah, because he and his wife couldn't have children, and suddenly this child appears, and it's like some sort of like alien that just wants to belong.
Yeah. And tries really hard to belong.
Really hard. It doesn't really realize it's trying so hard it doesn't realize it's an alien.
So yeah, then the doctor and Alex end up getting sucked into the cupboard, and they end up in the dollhouse, and what?
Oh no, but then remember what happened to Amy?
Oh yeah, Amy gets turned. She gets turned into a doll.
Yeah, Amy and like Rory are like trapped in a room, and Amy's like, we've got to get past them. Yeah. And Rory's like, all right, Ginge. Opens the door. She gets grabbed and starts chasing Rory.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And this just to me meant, they don't get turned into dolls permanently.
One of the regulars happens.
It happens to fucking Amy, she's key to the story. Like, I know she's not going to be disposed of in, like, a random episode about, you know, magic demon dolls. Like, I know that's not going to happen. Like, it's just, she's in the opening credits. So to turn her just means this doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, if they had her narrowly escape, I would have been like, oh shit, maybe this doll thing means death. Maybe, you know, I wouldn't have known that the landlord would come back later and that the old lady, Mrs. Rottweiler or whatever
his name is. Wakes up in the trash.
Yeah. I wouldn't have known that happens. But because
it again, at least I'm not covered in jizz this time.
Because it happened to Amy, I know that it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it would have been better if it didn't happen to either Amy or Rory.
Yeah.
Or the doctor. You could have done it you couldn't have done it to Alex because, I don't know, keep going.
Oh, no. So, like, you know, like you said, Alex and the doctor get sucked into the dollhouse and they're getting chased by the creepy doll people.
Yeah.
And the doctor's like, run. And they get, like, trapped on stairs being, like, chased by the creepy doll people. He meets up with Rory and he's like, where's Amy? It's like, ugh.
And he just kind of gestures at one of the doll with the dark red hair.
Yeah, the ginger doll. Yeah. He's like, oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, he's like, George, you can hear us. Because, like, the reason they were sucked in is because they were questioning George's reality.
Yeah.
And so the reality
that scared him, and therefore they scared him, and therefore George put them in the cupboard.
Basically, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, so they're in there. So then it's like, George, this is your reality. You got to change it. So George is suddenly in the dollhouse with them.
Yeah.
But then George gets, like, surrounded by the dolls. And his dad, you know.
Well, the doctor explains to the dad, it's like, he did this because you talked about sending him away.
And we didn't really want to send him away.
Yeah, the dad says, we weren't really going to send him away. We were just going to, like, send him somewhere to get help. Like, we love him. He's our son. And the doctor's like, yes, let him know that or whatever. And so Alex runs down and is like, George, you're my kid. I don't care what the fuck you are. Like, you're my kid. I love you. And he embraces them. And then, ooh, everything's fine.
Everything's fixed. Everything is set back.
Yeah.
Everything is reset back to where we got. And then, like, it's
the way it was.
Exactly. Then the mom comes and it's like, it's the daytime. And it's like, everyone, you know, George.
Do you want a kipper?
And Alex are just like, let's have some lunch. Let's have some breakfast. Kippers.
Yeah. The doctor's like, Claire, you welcome home. Would you like some kippers? And she's like, who the hell are you?
I'm the doctor.
Yeah.
And she's supposed to go, who? Doctor. Who?
Oh, they have done that joke before.
They have done that, yeah.
Sure, a lot.
I'm sure.
But what she does is, it's not like the Peter Cushing movies where his last name is literally Who. So he's Doctor Who.
Doctor Who's on first.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, those Riff Tracks versions are still on Amazon Prime as of right now, if you wanted to watch, anybody wants to watch those.
So then, the doctor, like, you know, so Claire's like, wait, he's fixed? And the doctor's like, yep.
Yes, he is.
Yep.
Everything's good. Everything. As long as you want him as your son.
Right, you know, so the doctor leaves and, like, Alex comes out and he's like, wait, oi, what's going on? I've got an alien living in my house. He's like, yeah, but isn't he your son? Yes, he is. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Until puberty.
Yeah, he's like, puberty's a sketchy time. I'll stop back.
Yeah. And then, like, then the doctor meets up with Rory and Amy, and, like, everything okay? And they're like, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Was I a doll? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then the doctor says something about, oh, speaking of history, time, and space, let's go somewhere else.
And then they had some ADR, which made this episode fit back in where they didn't actually put it.
What was that?
The
little nursery rhyme.
No, well, that also. Okay. Like, the doctor, puts his arms around them. It's like, aren't we all glad that we're back in the flesh? And then, it was basically, this was supposed to be the fourth episode of the season.
Okay.
Before they found out that. So, basically, this Amy was one of the fake Amys.
Oh.
It was a fake Amy. So they actually, they jostled the placement of the episode. So they took out the eye patch lady who showed up in there. They added some dialogue about talking about, isn't it good that we're all back together in the flesh?
And okay.
Also, yeah. So they made some references that you didn't see them actually speak.
Okay.
And then this is supposed to be the fourth episode. I forget which one it took the place of, but yeah. So they just moved some shit around. So that's why it didn't feel wholly like it belonged.
It felt like a monster of the week.
Yeah.
It felt like a one-off.
Actually, this is supposed to be a companion light episode, but then they supposed to.
Oh yeah.
So, but then they changed it up.
I can see that, but just from the writing standpoint, but from the actual execution standpoint, obviously Amy and Rory were wandering around a bit. And usually when they were wandering around, I'm like, I would rather see the doctor fixing George or helping George. I was just like, okay, they're walking around a spooky house wondering what's going on. It's like, whatever. They scared George, so George threw them into the cornfield of the dollhouse.
Right.
So whatever. Let's get back to let's get back to the doctor and Alex talking about George and or hanging out with George and figuring things out.
What was also weird is that this was the first episode filmed for the season.
Okay, that's insane.
Yeah. So
it was supposed it was supposed to be take place fourth, but it was actually what?
Ninth.
So yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So it was already after that we saw the doctor get killed.
Yeah.
It was already after we saw Amy was a replicant, a ganger. It was already after Amy had a child and everything.
And that child grew up to be River Song.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it did end on a nursery rhyme playing, everything's gets Freddy's coming for you. It did show the still of the doctor's picture with his date of death.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, why is that on the TARDIS thing?
I don't know why it's on the screen. Is it always there just taunting him?
Must be.
Yeah. Just weird.
Because it's actually a couple hundred years in his future.
Yeah, but yeah, and I assume that the way that the season is going to wrap up is going to be convoluted, but whatever. Anyway. So that was the episode. It was better than Fear Her. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be from your reaction to the title, your remembrance of the title.
Yeah.
So was it as bad as you remembered?
No, actually, I enjoyed it a lot more.
I found the doll thing a little ridiculous. Like I said before, you do that to Amy, we know it's going to be undone.
Right.
So the stakes change. Don't do it to Amy, do it to the dad somehow, and then maybe make Claire run in.
Yeah, no, this is one of the regulars.
Yeah, don't you do it to the people in the opening titles, we know it's going to be undone. So it loses its gravitas, I guess. Anyway, what's up with your phone? You're staring at your phone.
Oh, no, that's where I put my notes.
Oh, yeah, okay,
I took a picture of my notes that I wrote down.
Oh, cool.
And because I wrote them down weeks ago, I have to, refresh myself.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks since we recorded.
Because
the last time we got together, we just watched a couple episodes of Haunting of Hill House and Happy Death Day.
I think just one episode of Hill House.
Whatever.
Yeah. So the director was Richard Clark, or I like to call him Dick Clark.
Oh, and there you go.
I don't really like to call him that. New Year's Rockin' Eve. This is his fourth and final episode of Doctor Who that he's actually directed. He did...
Because he took up heroin and can't direct anymore.
That might have been more productive. Who knows?
Oh, okay.
But he did Gridlock, he did the Lazarus Experiment, and he did The Doctor's Wife.
Which one was the Lazarus Experiment?
That's the one with Moorcroft,
Mycroft Holmes. Okay.
Yeah, remember, like, he was the old guy?
He was the giant spider?
Yeah, he was
the kid. He turned into a giant spider?
Cockroach or whatever. Yeah. That was when Martha was still on the show.
Yeah, Mark Gatiss.
Yeah, Mark Gatiss.
He wrote this one.
Yes, he did.
Which makes sense considering the last season of Sherlock.
Yeah. Up to this point, Mark Gatiss wrote The Unquiet Dead.
Which was good.
Pitty-pitty-gauf.
It was okay.
It wasn't bad.
That had Gwyn. When you said The Unquiet Dead, I was thinking of the kids in the gas masks in World War II.
Ooh, no, that was...
That was the Are You My Mummy.
Are You My Mummy.
But Pity the Gelf, that was okay. It was okay.
And he also did The Idiot's Lantern.
TV?
Yeah, the TV one with, like, the abusive dad and the gay son.
Which was also okay.
Yep. He also did Victory of the Daleks with my favorite Dalek.
Exterminaten?
Well, no, that was later. Oh. But this was the World War II Daleks.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. Exterminaten, that was later. I did enjoy that.
Okay, Victory of the Daleks, that was pretty good. I liked that one.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
Yeah.
That was last season.
Yeah.
And then
this one, which was not good. Not great.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Now there's a character named Julie, played by Sophie Casson. I don't know because you said the one was Claire, that was the mom.
Yeah.
I think this might have been the mother of the twins.
Oh, okay.
She was in Thor the Dark World.
What?
As wench number one.
Oh, okay. So that was not Jeff Goldblum as that mother.
No.
Okay.
No, Dark World. Not the other one.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It was the second Dark World. One.
Not Ragnarok.
Yeah, Ragnarok.
Is amazing.
She was also in Downton Abbey, Series 5, Episode 8, as prostitute.
No idea. Never watched Downton Abbey.
Me neither.
Heidi liked it.
Well, ask her, does she remember who prostitute
yeah.
was?
Do you remember
Julie Casson?
Do you remember any hookers?
She was great.
Yeah.
No, not a hooker, Steve. She's a prostitute. She's a high-class one. Now, Andrew...
That would be an escort.
That would be. Andrew Tiernan, Purcell, you know, the landlord.
Yeah.
He was in 3 episodes of The Survivors.
Oh, we watched that.
We did.
Was he a greasy, sleazy dude? Because
probably.
From what he played on this episode, I can see him doing that being his wheelhouse.
Now, Alex.
Yeah.
Played by Daniel Mays.
It drove me nuts because he was so goddamn familiar.
Does the name Arthur Young mean anything to you?
I'm sure it should.
Good Omens.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea how many episodes he was in there, but he played Arthur Young in Good Omens. Really, that was the only thing that connected I would get.
I think he was the dad. He was the dad of the normal kid. Like, Good Omens, the premise.
I haven't watched it yet, so.
Good Omens, the premise is the Antichrist is born on the same night as, like, a regular kid in a small town in England.
The Pro-Christ?
No, just a normal kid.
Okay.
So the Antichrist and... Bland.
So Neville
yeah.
and Harry.
Not even Neville. Some random muggle.
Seamus?
No, some random muggle.
Okay.
So Harry Potter and like
Dudley?
Dale Johnson. They were switched at birth. So Harry Potter was raised to be Dale Johnson and Dale Johnson was raised to be like Harry Potter. So, but yeah, so, and I believe that this guy was like the father of the regular kid who thinks he's a regular kid, but he turns out to be the Antichrist.
I've read books like that.
What?
That wasn't the Good Omens. I've read books like that, I swear.
Good Omens is a good book.
Okay, yeah.
I love Terry Pratchett. I really like Neil Gaiman. I would recommend Good Omens to pretty much anybody. Even you.
You have.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Or you could just watch the fucking show. David Tennant is like, and Michael Sheen are like perfectly cast. Even John Hamm, like perfectly cast in this thing.
What, you got the book?
What?
You got the book?
I don't have it here.
Oh, I don't mean down in the basement.
Okay.
You don't have the book in your possession?
I don't know if I have a copy of it.
I was going to say, I'll read it.
I don't know if I have a copy of it. Because when I read it recently, I got it from the library on my iPad.
Oh, weird.
Why is that weird? That's how I read most things right now.
Seems so, you know, tactile-less.
I don't know. Okay. It's just words on a page, whether the page is digital or analog, whatever.
Cool.
It's still reading.
Steve, you know what time it is?
Time for sleep?
Time for This episode's unsung crew member of the episode. Today's crew member is Jason Gill. It doesn't sound terribly British, does it?
No.
It does not. He was in the costume assistant.
Wait, a costume assistant?
He was costume assistant. He's also costume and wardrobe department. Okay. Basically, he's a costumer kind of guy.
Okay, well, costume assistant, I don't know if that means he, like, dresses people or designs things. But, so it sounds like he designs things.
I think more of a dresser. I don't know. Or maybe he, like, just, you know, here's the design. Make it, Jason.
Maybe.
Thirdly, let me take care of that for you. Spitzbot Tishtosh. No, he started mostly in film, like Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, that's old.
The Golden Compass.
Okay.
The King's Speech.
Oh, I never saw The Golden Compass, but they're having a TV show based on those books coming out soon.
Well, that might make it, you know, because the movie did not do well.
No. Apparently it had bears that could talk and were in armor and fighting each other. Like, that sounds awesome.
It does.
Yeah.
But then it also had Nicole Kidman wearing armor and it could talk.
Which is Nicole Kidman, like, it's hit or miss. Like, she's not a big selling point, but whatever.
But wasn't it like, you know, wasn't this like, was the books like called off for having a Christian agenda?
No.
Or an atheist agenda or something?
I think it's Philip Pullman maybe, and I think it's his Dark Materials, and they're definitely anti-religion.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I think that might be why there was some criticism, and I think they softened that in the movie version. They like basically were like, "Yeah, we don't want to be too anti-religion because those people buy tickets." Anyway, keep going.
Yeah. Then, like in TV, he did Agatha Christie's Poirot.
Oh.
He did Agatha Christie's Marple.
Okay.
I've run out of Agatha Christie's for him, but he did Downton Abbey.
So the Agatha Christie one is probably the same production team.
Probably. That's all the same shit anyway.
Yeah.
And then he did this entire season of Doctor Who.
Okay.
But then nothing before or after.
For Doctor Who. Oh,
correct. Okay. And it still works. It's just, you know.
Okay.
Nothing else interesting. Cool. Again, I don't pick them out because they're interesting. I pick them out because they're random.
No, you literally
Every now and then someone has something interesting in there.
And you don't even, like, look for, like, the Johns or the Steves. You just click on a random name.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So, Jason Gill, we salute you, sir. We do.
Keep on dressing people.
Keep on putting guys' balls in, you know, banana hammocks or something.
I assume
lady parts in their, you know, boomer carts.
I think I covered that by saying keep on dressing people, but whatever. You didn't have to do the specificity. You didn't have to double down.
Keep putting their asses in things that cover their asses.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That is good. So, Steve, anything else you want to talk about this episode that we did?
It wasn't bad, but I think it definitely could have been better. Like, the whole Amy Roy subplot just wandering around the dollhouse kind of dragged it down for me. Like, I was much more interested in the kid. The kid wasn't a bad actor. He was kind of one note, but then I think the part called for that. And the dolls, once they, like, started moving around, looked a little ridiculous. I didn't find them that creepy.
Well, I found them kind of creepy.
Okay.
I just found the kid, every time we cut to the kid just kept looking,
But I think that's what the part called for him to do, because he was afraid of everything.
It was so theatrical, though.
What was it the doctor said?
So why not have it where, like, you know, these, like, you know, dolls are pantomime? Again, that's British.
Yeah.
So maybe that's, like, that whole thing. That just seemed like a very British pantomime-y sort of thing. I don't know.
Maybe what was the doctor said about pantsophobia? Where it's not the fear of pants, it's the fear of everything, which I suppose would include pants, which would make it the fear of pants, but also other things, which is...
But he was also comically afraid. Like, the kid was, like, being directed. Like,
he was.
Just like, you know, he was. What are you, fucking Adam Sandler?
I don't think he was as bad as the little girl in Fear Her, because she didn't even be... She wasn't even really afraid. She was just kind of there.
Chloe Webb.
From what I remember, she was kind of, like, there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It had potential, but I don't think it really fulfilled it.
Yeah, it could have been better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, Steve.
Yeah.
We're going to see another episode of Doctor Who eventually.
Are we?
We will.
This is weird because our episode that we're currently recording is under 90 minutes, so it's going to be weird for me to edit this.
I know. Strange, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to watch an episode called The Girl Who Waited, Steve, not knowing anything about it and not, like, being confined to any kind of time thing except, like, keep it under 30 seconds. What's The Girl Who Waited about, okay. Steve?
So first, I have a question.
Okay. Stalling.
Go ahead. I'm not. So... Was there an episode called The One Who Waited, or was just Rory referred to as The One Who Waited?
It was like the Man Who Waited or whatever. Yeah, it was something like that.
But it wasn't an episode titled that. It was just Rory in his Roman Centurion outfit was called that, right?
Yeah, basically, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is The Girl Who Waited.
He waited 2,000 years.
Yeah. I'm assuming that she's not going to wait that long.
She'll move on.
Well, no. Okay. So, shit.
So the girl who waited, could it be Amy?
So the girl who waited is Amy. The year is, fuck it, I don't know, 3523.
Sure.
By the way, Frank Thomas and Robin Ventura's jersey numbers for the White Sox. So the year is...
Facepalm.
So the year is 3523, and
how are your socks doing, Steve?
Oh, they suck. Yeah. The year is 3520. They're going to finish in third, not fourth or fifth this year, unlike the last
10. Are they going to be in the playoffs?
Years. Oh, God, no. Not since, like, 2009.
Are the Cubs going to be in the playoffs?
Probably. Shut up. Yeah,
sorry.
So
why, Steve? Why do you torture yourself so much?
The year is 3523.
Wow. Wait, aren't those like jersey numbers?
No, of course not. What are you, people? Ridiculous. You know, don't be ridiculous.
Like Bobby Gavila. Jersey McHaven.
I just pulled numbers out of thin air, of course.
Of course.
The year
Tell me
is...
about these steamy numbers you pulled out of your ass, Steve.
The year is 3523. And we come in, and it's going to be one of those episodes that starts kind of mid-story, and then we work back. So it's like we see Amy.
Amy getting tattoos explaining what happened?
No. It's not Memento. We see Amy standing with a weapon, like, in front of a TARDIS. And she's, like...
Waiting?
No. She's basically like, threatening, like, let's say Cybermen. Cybermen are coming. And she's basically saying, like, you don't want to fuck with me. I'm here. And she knows she... And then we go back in time and we realize that... there was, like, an attack by Daleks. We haven't seen Daleks in a while. So the Daleks come, and they attack the TARDIS, and the Doctor has to do some weird fail-safe mode where he pushes a giant red button, and it puts the TARDIS in a stasis state for 1,000 years. But unfortunately, Amy was, you know, I don't know, out at a farmer's market talking to a dude in a man bun on a distant planet. And so she wasn't included in that 1,000-year stasis. So she basically is just like traveling around with the TARDIS and River Song. They're all traveling around and fighting off various enemies who are attacking the TARDIS when they see it as vulnerable. And she's waiting for the 1,000 years, traveling through time and space for the TARDIS to wake up and the Doctor and Rory come out, and they come out and it's all awesome. And she's like, yeah, it's no big deal.
And they're like, hey, we missed you yesterday. What happened? She goes, Nothing. Let's just get back inside, boys.
Just hung out.
My boys.
Just hung out with River Song, had a girl's night.
Yeah. Hey, Amy, you got some new wrinkles. And then she bitch slaps them. And then, like,
no,
taps.
Just
like,
Rory.
Gets the Doctor in the nuts. Nut taps him. But she doesn't realize his nuts are actually on behind his neck.
What did you just do? I had a decent guess and you ruined
you
it.
You did, Steve. I'm so sorry.
You know,
like,
whatever.
Your guess,
you know what?
Like, for, so, hey,
you know what? Now I what? Don't think no. that's going to happen, and I'm not going to tell you another thing until next time.
Until next time. So
yeah.
That's The Girl Who Waited. Hey, Steve, any kind of like viewer mail or anything?
No.
Okay. Well, then that was the, not The Girl Who Waited. That was Night Terrors. So if you have any comments about the episode, about how, like, you know, Steve is just, like, you know, constantly spouting racist rhetoric, or about how I'm just kind of, like, you know, just like a lefty Libby who's going to, like, Antifa or something, come at me, man.
Or just if you want to complain about the fact that I released the episode and backdated it so it showed up in your feed at the wrong time.
Wrong time.
You can email us and yell at us. You know, email us and yell at us for whatever. Yell it's at okay. us. Blame us for the weather. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah. Just you know, it's like, yeah, we're, you know, we do control the weather because we're podcasters.
Yes.
So thank you.
Yes, we are the new power structure.
Thank you for listening.
Thank
I've
you.
Been Steve.
I've been John.
And we've changed bodies, and
I'm going to have to explain some shit to my wife.
I'm going to have some fun with your wife. Wait.
Okay.
No. I mean, with my wife, because I'm Steve now.
Okay.
I'm going to go and have some fun.
Let me just go apologize to Heidi.
Let me go apologize to your wife, Steve. All right. Thanks for listening, people.
Bye.
We'll see you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye. Da-da.
Because we got an email to read.
Well, that's at the end, though.
Yeah, I know. I just want to make sure.
You want to do it at the beginning.
No.
Breaking all the
rules. I told you, my goal is always to, like, have that TARDIS sound in less than 10 minutes. And the total episode less than
An hour.
But, like, that's much more loose. Like, the last one I released was, like, an hour and eight or something like that. Like, you know, obviously that's I definitely don't want more than 10 minutes at the very beginning. Because I just feel like people are listening to this. That's like, get to Doctor. I don't want people to be like, get to the Doctor Who or something. Like,
they're not really listening for that. If we have long time listeners, they're listening for us.
See, part of
Tim's
me,
Tim's listening for us.
I know
that, and he also likes Doctor Who.
Yes, I part of me though is thinking, like, any episode can be someone's first episode, which is why I've been trying to remember to announce that I've never seen this before more, because I think I went about 50 episodes not doing that.
Well, yeah, then you've, like, you know, like, and every now it's like every long. 3 episodes yeah. now you've been doing it.
Yeah, I'm maybe just wondering.
Test what?
Maybe this was the. There was something where. Sounded like one of us was making a repeated noise for part of the track last time, but
well, I constantly masturbate while we're doing it.
Oh, I know.
So that helps me keep my energy level.
I know, but you've agreed to just not hit the table when you do it, and if you're hitting the table, then I don't want it. First off, I don't want you masturbating in my house. I'm just gonna say no,
you bastard.
You have your own home.
It's not as much fun.
it's more fun when it's other places. The night that came back with a vengeance too last week. No, it's me.
It's a call response.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's like amen, amen.
I was gonna say
amen, amen.
It's like the benediction.
Yeah, sweet baby Jesus, it's me. Isn't that what you do in the Lutheran, in the, like the Baptist church?
No.
We look just, at me, I'm sweet baby Jesus. Hi, sweet baby Jesus, come have a bath, because we're Baptists.
Not the Baptist church I went to. It was a lot of sullen white people.
Oh, okay, so not the fun Baptist church.
No, God, no.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. What night terrors.
Oh, yeah, the night terrors.